Jesus being a faithful friend for us. And that was a short clip from a TV series called Big Bang Theory, where Sheldon's trying to come up with an algorithm for making friends, trying to get a process so that he can get more friends. And it kind of becomes obvious that maybe friendship isn't an algorithm. Maybe it's not something that you can force people into. And instead, actually, maybe it's something that each of you has to choose individually. You have to choose to be friends with each other. A good example of this is when I went out to Malawi. There was a team of six of us. When we went out, we'd met each other a few times, but we didn't really know each other. We weren't really friends. We were more kind of like acquaintances, I guess. And it was only once we'd been out there, once we'd got to know each other, once we'd spent time with each other, did we actually become friends. And it wasn't a given. There might have been problems, it might not have worked, we might not have actually become friends in the end. Thankfully we did, but it wasn't something that was certainly going to happen. And actually, we became really good friends because of the time that we spent together. We were out there for 5 months, we were around each other pretty much 24/7. So we got to know each other really well. We were able to share our lives with each other by just the day-to-day activities that we were doing, but also by being open and honest with each other, which can sometimes be a bit of a scary thing at first, because you're putting yourself in quite a vulnerable position. But ultimately, it made us stronger friends, and we were able to support and encourage each other and build each other up. So, what does being a faithful friend really mean? Well, this isn't just any friend. This is a faithful friend. They're faithful, dependable, they're loyal. They're always there, no matter what, whether it's in the good times or in the bad. And it's particularly in those bad times that they're there for us, to comfort us, to support us. Why? Because they're concerned for us. They feel for us. When we're hurt, they're hurt. They're showing compassion. But why would they do all of this? Well, it's ultimately because they love us. They love being with us, talking with us, sharing their lives with us, and us sharing our lives with them. Friends love to serve each other, not for their own benefit, but for the benefit of the other person. Not on a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of basis, but all because that's how they remain friends. It's not a condition of their friendship. They just enjoy doing it. Their friendship's unconditional. It's not based on what they do or don't do. It's based on who they are. And it's not some kind of master-slave setup. One doesn't look down on the other. They're both constantly trying to encourage each other, trying to build each other up to be better people. So, is Jesus a faithful friend? Well, the first point that we looked at then was loyalty. And Jesus promises to be with us. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, he says, "Be sure of this, I'm with you, always, even to the end of the age." And then, at Pentecost, he sends his Holy Spirit to live in us and be involved with our lives on a day-to-day basis. In John, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth." He's always there with us. Why? Well, it's because he loves us. In John 15, verses 9 to 17, it says, "I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things, so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father has told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. So we see in this passage, Jesus says it here, I have loved you. And then he continues. He says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. He demonstrates the extent of his love for us by laying down his life so that we can love him and be in a relationship with him. And what's even more amazing is that God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. When Jesus died for us, God was our enemy, not our friend. And yet, he still did that for us. That is love. An unconditional love. Excuse me. And that's why we can be confident of his eternal love and friendship with us. Because he loved us when we were as far from him as we could be. That is amazing. And what's just as amazing is that this relationship, this friendship that God wants with us, isn't a master-slave situation. Jesus specifically says, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. It would be perfectly justified for Jesus to say, we're his slaves. But he doesn't. He calls us his friends. And what's more, he shares everything God has told him with us and revealed to him with us, his friends. And we can share everything with him because he's interested in us. He's concerned for us. We see this when Lazarus dies. In John 11, it says, when Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw this, saw her weeping, and the Jews who had also come with her, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. Jesus sees Mary and the others who are hurt, and he is moved. He is hurt. He loves Lazarus too, and weeps his death. And despite the fact that he knows Lazarus will be raised from the dead, but he still weeps. He weeps at Lazarus' death and the pain that the others and him are feeling. He's there to weep with them, to comfort them with his presence. But he also brings them comfort by raising Lazarus back to life. And finally, as well as comforting, he also encourages. In Romans 15, verse 5, it says, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for the followers of Christ. When Jesus was with the disciples, he encouraged them, he taught them, and built them up to be men of God, followers of Christ, and a light to the nations. But what does this all mean for you and me today, here and now? Well, just like Jesus did with the disciples, he wants to encourage us and build us up into men and women of God, and for us to become more Christ-like. He might not be with us like he was with the disciples in the flesh, but he's still always with us, and his Holy Spirit lives inside with us. And that's the next thing. He's always with us. We don't need to be in a special place like church to come and be with him. Instead, he's always with us in every situation of our lives, no matter how exciting or mundane it seems. And because of that, it means we can speak with him and hear with him about anything, because he's interested in all of us, even the little things, and he loves it when we do so. So it means we can ask him things, we can bring our worries and difficulties to him, and he can help us because he cares. And in those really tough times, he's there for us, and he can comfort us. It says in Philippians, Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests before God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In any situation, we can come to him, and he's always there. And then in 2 Timothy, it goes on to say, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Even when we've turned away from him, even when we aren't really feeling on fire for God, we can always turn back to him, and he will always be there, waiting for us, with open arms, ready to welcome us back. And in response to this love, this loyalty that he shows us, we want to be loyal back to him and live our lives honouring him, not as a condition of our friendship, but as an act of love, which we do by loving others, his commandment to us. Why? Because he's our friend, and that is amazing. This Jesus, the creator of the heavens and the earth, wants to be our friend. God, who is indescribable, uncontainable, all-powerful, all-knowing, loves us so much that he wants to invite us into a relationship with him. And yet, he treats us with respect and dignity so that he doesn't force us into that relationship, but invites us into one. He lets us choose. It doesn't seem right or make sense that God would do that, and yet he does. He loved us to the extent that he died for us. Why? Because he wanted us. He wants us, and he loves to be with us. He is our friend. That is amazing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the reality that you are our friend, that despite how crazy that sounds, despite we gloss over it sometimes, in our Christian thinking, it's just kind of a comment that said that, oh yeah, Jesus is our friend. But actually, if we stop and think about it, that is so amazing, so incredible, so incomprehensible. Why would you want to do that? Because you love us? Despite the fact that on a daily basis, we just turn away again and again, and yet you went and died for us. Thank you for that, God. And thank you that you're here for us right here and now in our day-to-day lives, that you want to be with us, that we can bring our worries to you and that you will comfort us, that you can give us that peace which transcends all understanding, that you can guard our hearts and minds. And we just want to thank you so much for that. And as a response to that, we want to live our lives honouring to you. We want to love others. We want to share that love that you've given to us with others. So Lord, we pray that you would just help us try and possibly comprehend what it really means to be your friend. That it wouldn't just be something that we kind of think about in our heads, in our minds, but it would really touch us in our hearts, and we'd really know what it means to be your friend and to have you by us every second of every day. Thank you, Lord. It's just so amazing. And yeah, I pray that we'll just continue to discover more, to learn more about what it really means to be in friendship with you. Thank you, God. Amen.